Thank you, Nick. Grab your Bibles and turn to Romans 14. Brother Fisher, usually if a pastor or a preacher, doesn't have to be a pastor, preaches here and there, and he hears a sermon, and he's like, oh, I got an idea from that sermon. They don't preach it, the idea, the next week, but I got a great idea from Brother Fisher's message on Thursday. It goes along with our theme and the four steps. In Romans chapter 14, and it's about step four, okay? Step four in our four steps. Step one is loving God, and then step two is loving others, and step three is serving God, and step four is serving others. Did I get that right? Okay, good, good. That means I got an A in my test. There's only four questions. Serving God, and we're going to have Involvement Sunday, and I don't know when exactly it's on the calendar, but it'll be soon. And what we'll do is we'll have a bunch of tables out and about after church, and we'll probably have Sunday morning and Sunday night. And this one table will be Spanish ministry, and this one table will be missions ministry, and this will be Filipino ministry, and this will be bus ministry, and this will be mechanics ministry, and this will be youth ministry. There'll be tables all. How many have ever gone, what do you call it, like a work fair? Is it right? Work fair? You ever gone to a work fair? It'll be sort of like that. And here's the thing. And I'm gonna rehash a little bit about the judgment seat of Christ Brother Fisher talked about on Thursday night. But we're all going to stand before we're all going to give an account of ourselves to God. And what pounds or what gifts or what talents God has given us, we're given an account for them, okay? And everybody here has something to offer to the Lord, and the way we offer to the Lord is to help others, okay? And so let's stand together, Romans chapter 14. But here's the challenge. You know what step four is? Here's step four. Everybody in the church is doing something here in the church for the Lord. Brother Alfonso is a Sunday school teacher. Okay? These guys are staff members. They don't count. They get paid. Daniel is a Sunday school teacher. John Ledwidge is a bus worker. Okay? They have... Titles aren't any big thing, but it's a way to say, I'm committed to that. Okay? And by the way, we can serve the Lord. It doesn't have to be in the confines of this church building. But at the same time, what we want to do is help everybody. You know, we say, what are you doing? We're helping people have a better judgment seat of Christ. That's it. Man, I've been meditating. That's it. By the way, God has given me, over the last 4 days, a new courage and boldness to come and say, brother, I love you. What are you doing for God? I didn't say, what are you doing for me? What are you doing for God? Because I have to give an account for the church. I'm going to say it nicely. If you say I'm not doing anything, I'm going to say, how would you like to do something? And I want to help you to find your niche. What do you have a passion for? I talked to Danny Hoare a couple weeks ago. He's pretty excited. His son, Malachi, is going to be the best basketball player that's ever been in this church. The guy's sixth grade. He's that tall. He runs around, and he looks like, who's a Christian point guard, you know? I said, by the way, and I know how they feel. The whole family's excited. They get to cheer for their son, and they get to cheer for their brother. I've been doing that for 10, 12, 15 years. It's fun. It's exciting for a while. You know, it's getting a little boring now. But anyway, I said, Danny, when we get that gym is a tool to get people saved. Now, we get to enjoy it. The Bible says God's given us everything richly to enjoy. But I said, would you be a part of winning people to Christ in a ministry in that gym? He said, sign me. He didn't say this, but he said, like, yes, I will. Like, sign me up. We're planning right now. We're preparing. We're preparing because what it does, all it does is gives us a bigger infrastructure to do more for God for many reasons, to get people saved and to make an impact in our community, to bring salt so it doesn't spoil, but also so we'll have a better resurrection. So we'll have a better judgment seat. I have a responsibility. I'm not going to get mad at anybody. If I say, Charlie, you want to do something? No. I say, okay, fine. But I'll go like this. God, I asked him. I asked him. But I still love you. You have a problem with your wife? You're not married. You have a problem with your wife that you don't have yet? I'll help you. Okay? By the way, if you have a problem with your wife that you don't have, just wait until you get one. It's going to be hard. So don't have problems with wives that you don't even have. Okay, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse number 10. But Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all. How many class? Stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'll tell you what, that's clearer to me than it's ever have been. How many have ever been to court? Not for you, of course. It was you're supporting your cousin. Been to court. Yeah, we're all innocent. Every one of them, their plea is innocent. And then you have the judge. We're going to talk about the judge tonight. The judge is austere. Have you ever seen a judge like this? Well, how the Cambodian people say, lingi lingu. That's how the judge is. You know what the judge is? How many know what I'm talking about? Judgment seat. I've been to court, and I've watched our people get mercy, and I've watched some get truth. Okay? Look at that again. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all, that's all of us, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm glad we're not going to stand before the white throne judgment. Okay, and give an account for our sins. Our sins are gone. Amen? For it is written, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Father, help us as we look at our responsibility as a Christian to serve others. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt. I'd rather be with Christ, but it's much, much more needful for you. Lord, you left us down here with pounds or talents or gifts or abilities to be used for you. Lord, might this message help some of us to just be encouraged that that's what we're doing. And then sometimes we're in transition. We were in a ministry, and maybe we're out for a little bit, and that's okay. Sometimes a little R&R is necessary. But some of us need to just jump back in because we're going to give an account of ourselves. There's some beautiful voices in this church that aren't being used. There's skilled teachers that aren't using their teaching ability. There's wonderful people skills that have, maybe they've just been dormant for a little bit. But Lord, might you tap on a door tonight to say, I'm going to give what I have to help others, if for no other reason, so the judgment seat of Christ, I can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We haven't done it for about 2 years, but we'll do it again. We'll have a brother Zachary, and we'll have brother um, Brother Borough, and they'll come, and we'll say, Brother Pineda, Brother Zachary is going to come, and he is going to test, not give a test. Really, the word that should be used is judge, but we don't use that word, but he's going to judge all our pianists. So Jed will get up there, and the difference, Jessica and Hannah and I, different ones. One will do an offertory, and I think, if I remember correctly, we have him over there. You know, he's got his clipboard, and he's writing things down. Okay? They're a little nervous. Then we have the song leaders get up, and they're going to lead singing. Okay? And I know we're not supposed to lead singing to be good, you know, and it's all not all technique. But at the same time, if we're going to do it for God, let's give it the best we have. And so we'd have different guys come up here, and then Brother Borough, he does. And then on Monday, they get their test result, or it's Friday, he'd come. Now, we have to understand we are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to turn to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 9. Wherefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Wherefore we labor look at verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Verse 10. For we must all, how many class? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Do you believe that? You believe when you die? Now, we're not going to be judged for our sins, amen? We're going to stand before God. By the way, I don't know exactly how it's going to be, and I think God leaves a little mystique there so that sort of we just say, man, let's give it all we got. You know, it's not, well, you know, I'm saved. I don't really need to give anything to God. Well, we're going to give an account of ourselves to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to it at done, whether it be good or bad. Excuse me. Now, let's look over to Luke 19, and actually Brother Fisher used this portion of Scripture, and I think it's good. There's one word that stood out, and I'm like, wow. I studied it. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Look at verse 12. Luke 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, Luke 19, verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. It's a picture of Jesus. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It came to pass that when he was returned, he having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man hath gained by trading. He's saying, use this money, in this case, to trade and to invest, to bring a return for the certain nobleman. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And so he took those pounds and he got more pounds because he invested. Verse 17, he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Little have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, because be thou also over five cities. Another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. So he didn't use his. He kept his while he was watching video games. Or he kept his while he was sleeping. He didn't use his. Okay? For I feared thee, look at this, because thou art an austere. Can everybody say austere? I never knew what that meant until Thursday night. I never did. And Brother Fisher mentioned it. I went back home. Looked. I get my Webster's, 1828 dictionary out, pulled it out, got my concordance out. It's only two places in the Bible that's mentioned twice here. He said, I knew that thou art an austere man. By the way, I looked at 21. I said, well, maybe God didn't say he was austere. Maybe just that was the view of the picture of these Christians. But he goes on and he says, I am austere. For I feared thee because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man. So he recognizes this picture of God. He did not say, no, I'm not austere. He said, yes, I am austere. Austere man, taking up that I had not taking up that I had not laid down and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming, get the 0.5% interest, do something with it, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. The word austere means rough. Rough. It means stern. Okay? It means rigid. Brother Fisher mentioned a few of these words. I went back and just double-checked. I wasn't questioning him. I just wanted to maybe look a little bit more. Strict. Those are the words I got out of the dictionary. Strict. Austere is rough, stern, rigid, strict. I spent a little time with Brother Fisher. We discussed this. I'm like, hey, I sort of want him to shed some light. He said this. He said, don't expect the Lamb of God at the judgment seat of Christ. The Lamb of God is there for your salvation. The Lamb of God is not going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Again, I remember several times I've been to court with people. I remember I told a story. It was a guy who's a Cambodian guy, and he accidentally hit a group of people. He was not drunk. He wasn't on drugs. He just accidentally hit them. Well, he didn't know if it's an accident, just pull over, call the police, and say, my soul, I hurt these people. It was an accident. He took off. Then he got so afraid, he didn't know the laws. He got so afraid, he's going, oh, my soul, someone, he didn't say, oh, my soul, but you know. He said, someone must have saw me. There's no way in the world. So they got my license plate. He says, I got to figure up a fast scheme. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to park my car over there, a ways away, and I'm going to call the police and say, someone stole my car. So it's like the guy that stole my car killed him. Actually, killed one. I think a couple were just injured, and so the police showed up, and he said someone stole my car. But do you understand? Not always, but typically when you're guilty, it's like, Doc, you know you did it. Just tell us. And basically, he gave himself away. We have police in our church. Sometimes it's like, this guy is such a great liar. I don't know. But sometimes it's like, you know he did it. Okay? And so what happened, they knew he did it. He gave himself away, and he was arrested. The family came and said, Pastor, can you help us? And I went to court, and I forget, this guy had never been in crime, never been involved in crime, nothing. He's just a guy that just was a little ignorant of the laws and just should have never taken off. He probably would have got a ticket. Probably wouldn't have of gotten any type of jail time, and they said he was guilty. And I never see that judge and saw that guy in his face, facing the judge. Okay. By the way, aren't you glad that we're not going to be guilty with God because Jesus paid for all of our sins? However, that was a judge. He got 7 years in prison for that. I was with another guy trying to help him and working on something. And then I was a character witness trying to help him, and it was a gun charge. And I won't go into all of it. And then they asked me a few things, and I told them a few character witness type things. And the judge looked at me sort of like this. I'm like, is he looking at someone behind me? And he said, Pastor. And I'm like, he's looking at me. I'm like, yes, sir. It was a gun charge. He said, are you going to guarantee that this guy never uses a gun anymore? I'm like, no. That judge was austere. He was rough. He was stern. He was rigid. He was strict. In the year 2013, we've turned God, the judge of the earth, into somebody he isn't. The Laodicean era has polluted who God is. There's a pastor going around, Jesus was a bartender. My Jesus was not a bartender. But don't be listening to them. Well, they're just sort of, no, don't listen to them. Jesus was no bartender. He was God in the flesh. Daryl Chaplin, he talks, and I've used this in a message, how that he says you have God as a shepherd, but then you have God as a general. It was one sermon. It wasn't the only sermon, but one of these sermons, when America, colonial America, was falling away from God, that God used Jonathan Edwards' sermon. He read the sermon. He read it. He didn't preach it. He read it. And that sermon God used to help turn America back to God. It's probably the most famous sermon America has ever heard. You know what the name of the sermon was? Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. By the way, I'm glad that God's a God of mercy, amen? I'm glad he's a God of grace. But let's not turn God into somebody that he's not. The Lord has enabled each of us to do something for him. 10 pounds. Maybe God hasn't given all of us 10 pounds. As individuals, we must use our pounds or our gifts or our talents for the Lord if we want a good judgment seat. So what's a good judgment seat? We're all going to stand before God and give an account. All of us. All of us. And so God has given it. By the way, I'm not trying to be humble. I'm not a five-talent guy. I might be a 2.5. You say, well, what are you doing? I'm trying to give them the best I can. By the way, I remember in Bible college, we were taught that most five-talent people don't use their talents for God. They use it for money. They use it for prestige. You say, why? Five-talent people, man, they can get it going fast. You say, what? Get what going? Anything. A business, in the workplace, they're talented, they're good talkers, they go up the ladder of success, they can make money, and the next thing you know it, it's like, well, you know, I'll contribute to Christianity. God gave us those talents to be used for him. The Lord has enabled each and every, and by the way, God's not going to judge me compared to what Brother Ross does. God's going to judge me according to the talents he's given me. And that's the same with you. Don't compare. The Bible says it's unwise to compare each other with each other. Because maybe God gave this person, for whatever reason, 4 talents, and you're a 2-talent person. And don't be discouraged because somebody's a better singer, or somebody is a better teacher, or somebody is a better communicator. And by the way, we ought to hone our talents, and we ought to take those talents and make them better and sharpen the sword that God has given us. But at the same time, don't get discouraged. Look, my brother is so much smarter than me. I always lived in his shadow. I mean, smarter, he gets it. He picks it up. Him and I would sit together in church ed, and I remember we would have a test. Test today? I'm like, you haven't studied? He'll open the book, or he'll open the notes, go through them. He'll get a B+. I've been studying the last 3 days. I get a C-. But you know, God is not going to, and when I say judge, I don't mean judge for our sins, but the judge, it is a judgment seat. I didn't name it. God named it. It's a judgment seat. Okay, what's a judgment seat? There's a judge there, God the judge. He's going to deal with us according to the gifts and the talents that he's given us. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you using your talents for God? First Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. By the way, God has enabled us. He's enabled us. Now, we're all gifted in different ways, but he's enabled me. Okay, let me ask you, what has God enabled you to do? We got Mario in the front row. Mario's going to get baptized tonight, right? Okay, if he wasn't, he is now. nothing like putting the guy in the spot, right? He's like, okay. He's a skilled carpenter. And he got laid off for a little bit. And by the way, everybody can't be on the job site, but you know what? He's been out there helping. He's been out there helping. Okay, he has that skill. These men, by the way, these men, they and their wives. Thank you, ladies, for coming. You just thank you for coming. You humble us. You know what they're doing? They're using their skills for God. Brother Mike West came up here, and he's an inspiration. And I'm glad for some reason God has given him a love for our church. It's just real special, but he just has a heart to use his skills for the Lord. As a church, turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. We're about done. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. By the way, you say, oh, well, you know, I'm a little older, or I'm sickly. Go to the job site sometime next week, and there's some exciting things going on. One thing is the HVAC, the heating and air conditioning ducts, not quack, quack, the ducts where the air comes through, they're putting those in. You say, who's putting them in? The guy. And I won't give you the story. He's saved us a few a few hundred thousand dollars. He's a Christian man. His name is Willie. What's his last name? Beeson. Brother Ross has already gone fishing with him. Brother Ross uses his gifts and talents to get people to take him fishing on their boats. But he uses it for ministry. But he told me a story. He said, Pastor, he went on, by the way, one of the guys in Monterey, he said, how did we find him? One of the guys in Monterey Park worked for him. And the lead went to Brother Rotanon, and I told Brother Rotanon, we can't spend $900,000 on an HVAC unit. And he got it down. It's like $300,000 or something like that, and just wonderful. But Willie showed up, and he said, Pastor, come here. By the way, it's called Mission Air. He is an HVAC missionary. 41 churches as clients. Okay? And he said, come here over here, Pastor. He said, see this book? He said, my life, or my story's in this book. I'm like, what story? He said, let's get with this HVAC. Listen, Brother Stevenson's sweating us over here, okay? We need to get some ducks going over here, okay? We need to get going. He said, my story's in this book. I'm like, what story? And he told a story how that he was going to die. He's maybe around my age, maybe a little younger. I'm not sure. By the way, he's going to put in the HVAC units that the port is paying for us also here. He said, I was going to die. He told me the long, by the way, long story. And he told us the long version, but I'll give the short version. He says, I was going to die. He said, I was to Germany trying to get, he said, they couldn't do anything here in America for me. He says, I was to Germany. My guess is he was in his 30s, maybe his early 40s. He had a very successful business, and he said, I went to Germany, tried to get special treatments that they have there they don't have here. They basically sent me home to die. He said, I was an invalid. And he said, I told God, and he said, I never did anything for God. He said, he lost everything. He said, when my body failed, he said, my business went belly up. He said, I looked up to heaven, and I said, God, I have very little left. He said, I'll give you what I have, what little I have, for the rest of my life. And by the way, he didn't plan on living very long. Guess what God did? Healed him. I'm not, by the way, don't go home, hey, we don't have a healing line at the church. No. Every individual is unique. He got up. He ran down the street, three o'clock, screaming because he couldn't even walk before. His wife said, because I think they had him on morphine, I was talking about, you know, hospice. I think he was close to hospice. His wife said, oh, my soul. She didn't say, I say everybody says, oh, my soul. Whatever their oh, my soul is. Okay, you know, oh, my soul. My husband, the drugs, the morphine, the painkillers have caused him to freak out. He's running down the street. She, oh, no, he's going to wake up all the neighbors. She comes back in, and he's like, look at me, I can walk. And she's like, calm down, calm down. But you know what he said? Guess what? I made a vow to God. Okay. He thought he only had a little time left and only a little energy. Let me say this. Let's not wait until we're on our deathbed. But thank God, by the way, missionaire. He told you the story, right? Missionaire. I'm like, here's a guy. He's like, I'm a missionary. That's what he says. He says, I'm a missionary to help people, help churches. And he doesn't only do churches. He's taken what God's given him to be used by God. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. As a church, we will give an account for the gifts that he's given us. And let me say this. As a pastor, I want to say this because I'm not going to be rude to anybody. But I'm going to come up to some people. I'm going to come up to someone like a Charlie and say, listen, you're saved. We want to help you now. I want you to have a good resurrection. I want you to have a good judgment seat, and I'm going to give an account for this church. I'm going to give an account for this church. And so I don't want to be passive about it and hurt you and hurt me at the same time. Now, do you want a good judgment seat or not? Now, Charlie, I'm kidding, but I'm not. You want a good judgment? Like all these guys, he's getting baptized now, and now he's in his new assistant pastor. I'm going to ask you, or I'm going to get with Brother Ross. That's step number four. Step number four isn't just some corny step in the church. It's like, hey, folks, do we want a good judgment seat or not? Okay? And you say, what are you saying? We're coming after you. Okay? Not in a bad way. Not, no. Hey, who wants to have a good judgment seat for Christ? Come on, let's do that. Life is short, 70 maybe. Maybe some of us, you know, Brother Stevenson, he's going to probably be lived 120 years old. But listen, some of us are healthy, some of us are strong, and thank God for that. But God says about 70 with a little strength, maybe 80 if you, you know, eat right. Maybe you can push 90, maybe get up in those 90s. But let's give our lives to God so when we stand before him someday, we're happy campers and he's a happy camper. Let's not call him a happy camper. He's a happy God. Been hanging out with those bartender people too much. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Listen, for they watch for your souls. Please look up here. I have a responsibility to watch for the souls of the people in this church. This isn't, oh, pastor's giving us a guilt trip. I'm not giving you, I'm giving an account. This is a big responsibility. And part of it is you and I are going to stand before God someday. Don't you want to be pleasant? Watch for your souls. They watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. I'm asking you as a church to help yourself. Help me to help you. Help the new people that come in the church and say, listen, step one is loving God. Step two is loving others. Step three is serving God. Step four, we're not that we're ever totally complete. Step four is serving others. Let's bow our heads for just a minute.